He walked on top of the water and the waves and commanded the storm to stop. Can you imagine? We see him, for instance, sound asleep in Peter's boat. That was his humanity. But when the storm hit, the next moment, he stands up and commands nature to stop. And they did. That was his deity.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, The Awesome Facts About Jesus Christ, in this exciting series called Christ in Colossians. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
You know, I've discovered in my own life that the more I know about Jesus, the more confident I am to talk about him to others. Isn't it funny that most people in our culture could tell you immediately about, say, the Kardashians or some pop star or their favorite actor, but we Christians so often draw a blank when asked who Jesus really was and is? I can't wait to fill in some of the holes of misunderstanding and share with you some of the awesome facts about Jesus Christ from the book of Colossians. So here we go. The Lord Jesus satisfies our longing for a touchable God. He has all the godlike attributes of wisdom, power, love, and holiness, but he's also one we can see, touch, hear, and talk to. What did he say to the disciples when he resurrected from the dead? And walked through the door, and it suddenly appeared to them, and they freaked out and said, oh my gosh, how'd you get in here? He said, it's me. And Thomas said, I don't believe it. And he said, touch me. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Boy, don't you know that was a dramatic moment. Don't you know? But he did it. And then Jesus ate fish with them, so he was not a vegetarian. All of you vegans, he ate fish and was able to digest it, yet he walked through a door, locked, walked through a wall. He would think and he would be there. He was showing us what a glorified body looks like, the same kind of body you and I are going to have. Can you imagine thinking and being there? Hallelujah. No rush hour traffic. Jesus would think and he would be there. Oh, I could so go into the glorified body. It's such a powerful, you're all going to have one, and you won't have to go to Curves to get it. It's true. Now watch this. Jesus is somebody we can see, touch, hear, and talk to. Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the one, Jesus, who gives visible expression to the invisible God. Jesus told Philip. Philip said, show us the Father. Show us the Father, Lord. And Jesus said, Philip, have you been with me so long that you don't get it yet? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Please understand that tonight, church. Whoever, you want to know what God's like? Read the red. You want to know what God's like? Read the red. Because everything Jesus said, did, all of his actions, all of his attitudes, all of his words, all of his movements were perfect image reflections of God. The word image is icon. We know what we get that from, right? Icon. The Greek word is icon, and it means likeness. He says he is the likeness. He is the exact likeness of the invisible God. We can't see God, but we can see Jesus. When Jesus was born, now carefully watch this. When Jesus was born, an unprecedented event took place. A new personality was not born as with all other children. When you and I were born, a new personality came into the world. When Jesus was born, a new personality did not come into the world. A person who had existed for all eternity came into the world. That's why Daniel called him the Ancient of Days. An ancient, eternal personality came into the world via a virgin. Say, Pastor, this is heavy stuff tonight. Jesus is heavy stuff. Hey, the bigger your Jesus is, the more miracles you will do. We need a bigger God. We need a bigger Christ. We need bigger faith. So I'm telling you what Paul is relaying to us here. The human and the divine were blended into one. An ancient personality came into the world, invaded planet Earth with a plan to overthrow the devil and the power of sin, death, hell, and the grave, to redeem us back to God, to take paradise lost and make it paradise regained. So when Jesus looked at you, God was looking at you through his eyes. He was not normal. He was super normal. John tells us that the eternal word became flesh. The eternal word became flesh to dwell among us. Read with me John 1, 1 through 2. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Wow. When God said, let there be light, Jesus was right there with him. When he said, let there be animals and birds and fishes of the sea, marine life, animal life, man, woman, Jesus was right there. In the beginning was the Word. He was with God. And what was he? He was God. This one statement separates Jesus Christ from all others as far as east is from west. Because guess what? You can't say in the beginning was Muhammad or Buddha or Zoroaster or any other world religious leader. In the beginning, they weren't there. And they weren't with God, and they weren't God. You can't say this about another personality that ever trod planet Earth, but Jesus Christ. He's in his own stratosphere. He's unapproachable in comparison. Now watch this. What God is, Jesus is. What God does, Jesus does. What God says, Jesus says. There's not one iota of difference between God in heaven and Jesus on earth. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Whatever I hear the Father saying, that's what I say. Whatever I see the Father doing, Jesus said, that's what I do. You want to see the Father, Philip? Look at me. Listen to me. Watch me. Study me. Oh, we serve a mighty Christ. Amen. Way, way greater than most Christians understand. This is why he could say to Philip, he's seen me, has seen the Father. And here's a fact. Jesus set before us a flawless, moment-by-moment, audiovisual, full-color, three-dimensional demonstration of what God is like. You know, some of these statements are so powerful that we could sit right here and think about each one of them for about 5 minutes and let it sink in. But I want you to understand the greatness, the magnificence, the vastness of this person called Jesus and what the Bible really tells us about him. He was the image of the invisible God. He was the blending of the human and the divine. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blending, think about it, he wore a seamless robe. Remember that? They cast lots for his robe there at the cross. We're told that it was a seamless robe. That means, you know, there was no hem. It was one piece. The blending of the human and the divine in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ was just like that seamless robe that he wore, woven throughout to be one indivisible whole. God, human, were so blended in Jesus, you couldn't see where one started and the other left, or one left and the other started. In the Gospels, we meet one, capital O, we meet one who was very human indeed, Jesus. He was born, he grew up, he went to school, he worked as a carpenter. All normal stuff, right? Human stuff. He became tired, hungry, thirsty. He experienced all the emotions of the human heart, yet without sin. He never blew his stack, never got angry, never snapped at his mother, never snapped at his brothers. He was a joy to be around. He asked questions. He had curiosity. He enjoyed companionship. He was wholesome, delightful. And Jesus was perfectly balanced at all times, in every way. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it was a joy for Mary to raise that boy, if I can call him that. What a joy he was. But now, he was a wonderful and attractive human being to whom all kinds of people were drawn. Human. At the same time, he was God. The demons instantly recognized him and were terrified. But wait a minute. We just saw all these things that were just so human that he was all human, all God, all human, God, man, God. He was human in all these ways, yet when he walked into a place where there was a demon, they fell at his feet, terrified, and screamed out at him, "Have mercy." He had power to turn water into wine or multiply a few loaves and fishes into a banquet for a multitude as God. He walked on top of the water and the waves and commanded the storm to stop. Can you imagine? He cleansed lepers, healed all manner of sicknesses, and he raised the dead. He raised dead people. We see him, for instance, sound asleep in Peter's boat. That was his humanity. But when the storm hit, the next moment, he stands up in the presence of heaving waves and howling winds and commands nature to stop. And they did. That was his deity. Human, he slept. God, he told the waves to stop rolling. And they listened to him. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept along with Mary and Martha. He felt their grief. That was his humanity. But then he turned around and told a dead man, 4 days dead, to come out of the grave. And out of the grave, Lazarus walked, wrapped in grave clothes. As a man, he cried. As God, he raised the dead. All man, all God, all man. The God-man. That was his deity. Jesus was all man and all God. He was the God-man. That's who we worship. Now, I'm going to say it again. There's not another person in all the history of the human race that can stand next to him. He is utterly unique, unprecedented, the undisputed Savior and Messiah of God. And he's coming back. And I'm going to tell you, don't miss next week, because we're going to see that the whole universe is held together, glued together by his word. Don't miss it. Now, Paul next says, he's the firstborn of every creature. Now, a lot of people stop right there and say, see there? Paul is saying he was born. That is, he didn't exist until he was born. But that's not what he's saying at all. This is not saying that Jesus was born first or created first of all created beings. In verse 16 of Colossians 1, Paul agrees with John's gospel by saying, by him, by Jesus, all things were created. Well, guess what? The creator of all things cannot also be created. This means he would have had to have created himself, because he told us all things were created by him. Well, he was one thing in the world, in history. That means he would have had to have created himself, and he did not do that. He always was. Only the eternal creator can be involved in creating all things. This passage simply means that Jesus was there when creation began. He was there. The word firstborn, he's the firstborn of all creatures or all creation, also means that Jesus was the first to experience glorification at his resurrection. He was the first to be resurrected post-cross, post-shedding of the blood. He was the first to be resurrected. Many are going to come after him. That's what that means, firstborn. As Jesus got up from the dead, you're going to get up from the dead. Let's talk about what the Bible really says. You know, I found it interesting. I've been kind of going through Book of Acts a little bit lately, and I've noticed the apostles, everywhere they went, they preached, it says, it makes a point of telling us, they preached the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That was their message. Not just that he was there, that he died on the cross, but they said this Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And then they would preach, and if you believe on him, so will you be. The first among others who follow. That's what Jesus was. When he got up from the dead, he was the firstborn, the first resurrected among others who will follow. As Jesus was resurrected from the dead, so shall we be. He was first, we shall follow. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us about it. Quote, listen to this. This is out of the New English Version. He's the first crop of the harvest of those who have died. What does that mean? When he got up from the dead, he's the first of a whole crop, a whole harvest that's going to follow. Resurrected, just like him. Paul goes on, since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead came through one, too. That is, death came by Adam, resurrection comes by Jesus. He goes on, in the same way that everybody dies in Adam, so also everybody will be given life in Christ. That is, those who have believed in him. Each event will happen in the right order. Now read the next part with me, would you? Christ, the first crop of the harvest, then those who belong to Christ at his coming. Oh, what a day that is going to be. When Jesus comes, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on in graveyards all over the world. Because up from the dead, there are going to be, listen, an innumerable multitude who have put their faith in Christ are coming up out of those graves. You really believe that, Pastor Jeff? If I didn't, I'd never preach again. Because that is the crux of our faith. This is not a little side dish on the plate of Christianity. This is the epicenter. He rose from the dead, and if he didn't, let's go home and watch American Idol. That's all there is. But since he did rise from the dead, he was the first crop. We're going to follow. We're going to follow. The trumpet will blow. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They will come out of that grave. God, by his mighty word, will pull together all the ashes, all of the bones, no matter if it was cremated or if they have laid in the dust for 2,000 years, by the word of God, they will be pulled together. They will receive a glorified body. They will be resurrected into his presence. They will meet the Lord in the air. They will see loved ones up there with them. There will be a reunion of sorts. All of those who have died in Christ will also be there. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with those words. This is not Brothers Grimm. This is not a fairy tale. This is not Greek mythology. This is Christianity in the raw. This is what it is. Next, Paul blows apart the Gnostic teaching that God did not create matter. We're doing good. Can y'all take a little bit more? Yeah. He bluntly tells us that Jesus was the creator of the universe. I really want everybody listening to get this. For by him, says Paul, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. Look at the beginning of the verse. By him, all things were created. All things were created through him. We're going to get into this next week. And for him. Not to mention, this passage deals with origins. Origins are so crucial because our culture has totally bought into evolution. And when you buy into evolution, you have to deny this verse. By him, all things were created. Evolution says, no, that didn't happen. Everything came about by bazillions of years and time and chance. Okay? If you give time enough time and chance enough chance, then you're finally going to have this thing called life. But the problem is, you always got to go back to origins. If you believe in the Big Bang, where did those swirling gases come from? You always got to go back to origins, the beginning. There was a beginning. There had to be something, because something doesn't come from nothing. I've seen tornadoes, pictures of tornadoes all over the country. I have yet to see a tornado go through a place and hit a junkyard and leave a Mercedes. Have you? I'm being serious now. Give it enough time, enough chance. It doesn't make any sense. It is preposterous. See, so you have a choice. You can either go with evolution or you got to go with the Word of God. Amen. By Him, all things were created. All things were created through Him. Yeah. Created, ex nihilo, something out of nothing. The only way you get something out of nothing is if there is a creator who is able to speak it into existence, because He is a creator. A creator creates something out of nothing. So this verse blows evolutionary teaching out of the water. As Genesis 1 reveals, God as creator of all things, Colossians 1:16 traces all life and all material things back to Jesus Christ as the second person of the Godhead. And it traces it back to the supernatural creation of the world. Supernatural. The fact is that science doesn't know a thing about origins. Can I tell you the truth about science? I'm thankful to science when it's real science. I'm thankful to science for many things that, I mean, thank God we can get a shot and we don't have to worry about polio. I'm thankful for real science. But not agenda-driven science. Not science that will say it believes something so it can get a financial grant. I'm not thankful for science that has yet to prove that something is true, like evolution. Yet our children are forced to listen to it in all of the schools, but it has never been proven. Except, now watch, you can talk all day about one species begetting another species, or the transition from one species to the next. But the argument always comes down to origins. Where did life begin? Origins. How did it originate? Where did the first life come from, or the first matter? Science never has and can't today answer that. The Bible does. By Him were all things created that are in heaven and here on earth. Jesus was there when the elephant was created, lions and tigers and bears, He was there when all of this, the birds of the sky, the fishes of the sea, all went through the fingertips of Jesus as the second person of the Godhead. Here's a fact. Whenever a scientist pontificates regarding the origin of the universe, he is no longer speaking as a scientist. He's speaking as a philosopher. He's not saying this is what we know. He's saying this is what I think. Period. Our concept today of Jesus Christ is too small. Paul had no doubts at all as to who exactly Jesus was. Let's stand together and we'll read this last part together. Ready? Jesus of Nazareth was God over all, blessed forevermore, the second person of the Godhead, self-existing, uncreated, and the creator of the universe. Give Him a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. 3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. Coming up on Life Talk.
He was worthy. Why is the universe His? It's His by right of creation. He made it. It's His by right of Calvary. He bought it. It's His by right of conquest. He defeated the God of this world, the devil. That's why it's His.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling The Awesome Facts About Jesus Christ Continued, in this series entitled Christ in Colossians. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.